You ever look at a company's, say, financial report? Maybe thinking about investing.
Or even taking a job there, yeah.
And you just kind of trust the numbers you see?
That feeling, that sort of underlying trust, it's absolutely crucial for how everything works, economically speaking.
It really is. And that trust doesn't just happen.
No, it's built on some really detailed work by independent auditors. They're the ones checking those statements.
So today, that's what we're diving into, the bedrock of that trust. Our mission really is to kind of pull back the curtain on the International Auditing Standards, the ISAs.
Rules of the road for auditors.
Yeah. We want to figure out what they're trying to achieve, what sorts of challenges they run into.
And importantly, what those audit reports actually signal to you.
We've basically taken a big summary of the key standards.
Covering the main areas, general principles, responsibilities.
Risk assessment, evidence, the final report, all that stuff.
Think of it like following the auditor's path,
Right.
step by step, as they build that assurance.
Okay, so let's start right at the beginning then. What's the main goal for an auditor?
Well, the core standard, they're kind of North Star, as you put it earlier.
Yeah.
It's all about getting reasonable assurance.
Reasonable assurance.
Okay.
Meaning the
Meaning they're highly confident the financial statements don't have any major errors or, deliberate misstatements from fraud.
And then they say, if the statements follow the rules, the accounting rules.
Exactly. They issue an opinion on that. But reasonable assurance is key here.
It sounds high, but maybe not perfect.
Precisely. It's a very high level of assurance, but it's not an absolute guarantee. You can't catch absolutely everything.
Like a detective building a strong case, but maybe not knowing every single future detail.
That's a good way to put it. And they have to maintain professional skepticism throughout.
Ah, right. Constantly questioning things, not just accepting what they're told.
Yes. Digging in, looking for inconsistencies, challenging assumptions, it's active.
So much more than a checklist exercise. It's like critical thinking applied to finance.
Definitely.
And it's not just the auditor, right? Management has responsibilities
Oh,
too.
absolutely. Management's job is to actually prepare the financial statements.
And put the controls in place, the systems to stop errors or fraud beforehand.
Exactly right. They own that part. The audit firm, though, also has big responsibilities.
For quality, I imagine.
Yes, strict quality control standards for the whole firm and the lead auditor, the partner on the job.
They're ultimately on the hook for that specific audit's quality.
Correct. The buck stops there for the engagement.
Makes sense.
Oh.
Okay, but let's talk about the tough stuff, like fraud. How do standards help with that? It seems so hidden.
Yeah, it's a major focus. There are specific ISAs just on the auditor's responsibilities relating to fraud.
So what do they say?
Auditors have to actively look for risks of major misstatement due to fraud. Could be a management overriding controls, could be theft.
And then they find risks, then what?
Then they design specific audit steps to get evidence about those risks. Really drill down.
Like what kind of steps?
Scrutinizing specific journal entries, maybe ones made late at night or by unusual people, or really challenging management's estimates for bias.
Wow, okay. It really does sound like detective work.
Yeah.
How do they even start identifying where things could go wrong?
That's risk assessment. It's huge. They think about different risk types.
Types like.
Like inherent risk, just how likely is an account to be wrong, even before controls? Then control risk, the risk the company's own controls fail.
And the auditor's own risk.
Right, detection risk. The risk that the auditor's own tests might miss something important. Understanding these helps them focus.
So, strategy. Figure out where the danger zones are. How does planning fit in?
Planning is essential. It makes sure they hit the important areas, anticipate issues
And understand the company itself.
deeply, understand the business, its environment, its internal controls. That's how you spot the risks. And they define materiality.
Materiality. Basically, how big an error has to be to matter.
To matter to your decisions as someone reading the statements, yes. If it could influence your economic choices.
Okay. Risks assessed, plan made. What about evidence? What are they actually looking for?
The standards are pretty clear. Evidence has to be sufficient, meaning enough of it, and appropriate, relevant, and reliable.
And some evidence is better than others.
Generally, yes. Evidence the auditor gets directly or from independent outside parties is usually considered more reliable.
Like getting a bank balance straight from the bank.
Exactly. Or inspecting original documents, observing processes, running their own calculations, looking for weird patterns in the data.
And all this work culminates in the audit report. that piece of paper at the front.
That's the final product, yes. And the standards dictate what's in there.
Like the auditor's overall opinion.
Yep. The opinion, why they reached it, any red flags about the company staying afloat.
Going concern issues, right?
Right. And for public companies, something called key audit matters.
Into those.
They're the most significant things the auditor dealt with. Areas needing lots of judgment or where risks were high gives you insight into the tough spots.
But it's not always a thumbs up, is it? The opinion can change if there are problems.
Oh, definitely. It can be modified. You might get a qualified opinion.
Meaning
there's a significant issue, a misstatement, or they couldn't get enough evidence, but it's not like totally wrecking the whole picture.
But sometimes it does wreck the picture.
Yes. That could lead to an adverse opinion. That's bad. It means misstatements are major and pervasive. The whole set of statements is misleading.
Ouch. And is there anything else?
There's a disclaimer of opinion. That's when the auditor just couldn't get enough evidence to form any opinion. Huge uncertainty flag there.
Wow. So this whole system, these ISAs,
mm-hmm.
it's really not just about numbers. It's about building and protecting that trust we started with.
Exactly. The pillars holding up financial confidence.
So the next time you pick up a financial statement, maybe remember all this, the scrutiny behind that signature.
From hunting fraud risks to weighing every bit of evidence.
It's a framework that hopefully gives your own judgment more power, knowing what went into those numbers. So think about this. What does having this deeper insight mean for your decisions from now on?